following is rated R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Good evening, everybody. It is 8:30, and welcome. It's Sunday, October 13th, 2019, and thanks for joining us for the Walking Dead online viewing party here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm host Casey Shapiro, and special thanks to our host and sponsor, NDB Media. I'm going to give them a little test applause and thanks. Alrighty, tonight's show contains spoilers up through the last episode and possible content from any current AMC official promo materials. Typically, we start our show about a half hour before the new episode airs live each week with recap from the previous episode and discussion of what is to come tonight. At 9 p.m., we'll go dark or mute and watch the new episode together, then give episode ratings from 1 to 10 and commentary during the commercial breaks. We will also give our listeners trivia on the show as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. Our show is spoiler and comic free. Please don't discuss either any spoilers or stuff from the comics in the chat room or on the air. We prefer our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about the show that is presented to us. So a wave in there for the heck of it. Okay, thank you, Carol. Okay, welcome to Season 10, Episode 2. After tonight, there will be 6 more episodes until the mid-season finale. Season 10 will be doing the traditional 50-50 split season, with 8 episodes running until November 24th, then a winter holiday break until most likely early to mid-February 2020, where we will resume episodes 9 through 16. We will keep our listeners informed when we get confirmation of those exact dates. Call in to speak with the host, if you like, at 914-338-0314. Anytime during the show, but especially between 8:30 and 9 p.m. Eastern Time, if you call during the live show, you will be screened and muted until the commercial break where we can chat live on the air. If the phones are not your thing, join us in our live chat room where you will be able to listen to the show real time, as well as download the episode after the fact, and we give the links for that usually on our Facebook page and my Twitter, so feel free to share them. I'm going to double check in the chat room, and seems like everything is good to go, and I'm going to give some welcome applause. We have a couple people in the chat room to say hello to, Joan and Art. Thanks, guys, for joining us and for making sure that all our technical stuff is up to spec. If you guys are unable to join us in real time this evening or any evening, you can still go to each episode link later on and download the broadcast as an MP3 podcast for later listening. I guess what you'll have to end up doing is start playing the audio a half hour before you play the episode whenever you end up listening to it. And then they should sync up with our commentary and everything happening at the appropriate times. That's my theory anyway. I'm actually not sure if the board condenses the mute or silent parts in between. I was under the impression it did, and then I thought for some reason that it didn't. I actually don't know. Joan, I don't know if you happen to know, if you've ever listened to the entire thing afterwards. I was under the impression that it's just dead air. Anyhow, if you want to download it, go to the link and download the broadcast as an MP3 podcast for later listening. So you go to the website, click on the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right of the page. You can also download this and prior episodes on iTunes as well. Tonight's episode is entitled, We Are the End of the World. The official AMC synopsis is, a flashback reveals the origins of Alpha and Beta. Alpha attempts to toughen up Lydia as they prepare to walk with the dead, again, in flashback. Meanwhile, the Whisperers create their herds, again, in flashback. This whole episode tonight is kind of a history of how the Whisperers and Alpha Beta happened. All right, and as we do, we have extra synopses that I will read for you guys. Let me pull up real quick. Pardon me. Have link number one. I actually opened up something else over top of it for a minute. Sorry about that. Okay. So this is fan-sided, and this is interesting to me. It's at a different URL than I'm accustomed to seeing them, and I'm a little fuzzy of the relationship between the different websites, but it is listed at hiddenremote.com, but the labeling still says Undead Walking. So I don't know if this is a subset of some kind, but anyhow, this is sort of a synopsis and sort of a discussion about the upcoming episode. And it is by Sandy C. Doesn't give her last name. It was written 3 days ago. She's at underscore Sandy Writes. And it says, The Walking Dead Season 10, Episode 2 Preview. What can we expect to see in We Are the End of the World? And so this is advanced preview comments. And she says, Before you read ahead, please note there are spoilers if you missed the Walking Dead Season 10 premiere, Lines We Cross, featuring Alexandria and the other communities coming together in preparation for the Whisperers. They are not all well-trained and have a lot of work to do, and unfortunately, time is not on their side. Michonne will continue to be around for a few more episodes. While we're not sure when Danai Gurira, is it Danai or Danai? Joan? Do you happen to know the proper pronunciation of her name? I want to get it right. And I keep forgetting. Because we also have the other lady on Fear who has a similar name. And I keep screwing them up. And I really don't want to keep doing that. So if you can help me out, that would be awesome. We don't know when she is leaving the series. We know that she is. And it will be this season. We know she signed up for a, quote, handful of episodes. And that should include the big war ahead. We won't think about that now, though. Let's instead begin our preview. The Walking Dead is about to hit the brakes with episode 2. Misspelling. Okay, Sandy, already you're kind of not impressing me here. Though we want the action to continue, it's not always bad to take a step back for some character development and origin stories. If you agree and love learning about the Whisperers, you'll really enjoy this episode. I do agree that I like a little origin story, but I really only like to see that about once or maybe twice per season, tops. Okay, continuing. There is the AMC synopsis, which I've already read you guys, so I'm going to skip over that. I'm going to check in the chat room, see if there's any commentary I need to add. Joan had said something. It did at one point. Haven't listened recently, though. Last time she listened after the fact, the muted parts are very short. Okay, so maybe it does consolidate them. That would be nice. But it might throw the timing off a little bit. So I don't know if people want to do something with that. I really don't know what to do. Some of you guys I know are coming and listening after the fact, and I very much appreciate that because I can tell on the board that it says we have so many listeners for that episode, but it's only Joan and I in the chat room, so I know these are after the fact. So whoever you are, we really appreciate your business. I don't know how you're dealing with the pauses if they're getting consolidated. But anyway, I digress. So, viewers will be learning more about both Alpha and Beta in a series of flashbacks, including the moment they meet, but we'll still see plenty of them in present time. We won't learn much about him in this episode, though. He'll introduce himself and share where he was at before, but no connections to his comic book roots just yet, and I don't really want to talk about that. We'll also learn more about Gamma. That character is mentioned tonight coming in, so this is not comic book stuff. This is tonight's episode stuff. This episode is all about the Whispers, and then the teaser trailer where it explains that, and that's all they have to say. So that is that one, and then just one more. And I have quite a bit of a pile up of articles to read you guys, so I'm actually perfectly happy to just have two extended previews. So the other one is from bleedingcool.com. That is a secondary source that I have started including because they're doing stuff on the regular and I can pick it up when I Google stuff. So this was written October 8th by Ray Fluke, who tends to be their regular writer for this episode, for this series. And it says, Walking Dead Season 10, quote, We Are the End of the World, where Alpha meets Beta preview. While the cast and crew of AMC's The Walking Dead roll along with their deep dive, production-wise, on the 10th season, life in the franchise's universe has become a lot like the NFL. Neither have off-seasons anymore. With a strong ensemble cast and a big bad fronted by Samantha Morton, in an award-earning turn as Whisperer's leader Alpha, and richly layered writing, showrunner executive producer Angela Kang did the near impossible, made the show feel fresh and dangerous again. We didn't mince words over how impressed we were with season opener Lines We Cross. Check out our review here, which I believe I read you guys last week. And now next episode, We Are the End of the World, looks to be giving us the backstory on how Alpha and Beta, played by Ryan Hurst, first met, what it was that bonded Beta to Alpha's cause, and how the Whisperers gathered their unholy horde, as you're about to see in the following preview clip, which, of course, pardon my hiccups, I can't show you. So there is that, and that is the end of the text for that. Okay. I'm going to double-check the chat room. Oh, yes, that is absolutely what I'm looking for, pronunciation of the actress who plays Michonne, properly pronouncing her name. D-A-N-A, well, it says Y, but it's spelt with an I, I thought. Danae apparently has a long A sound at the end, while Danae is a long I sound. As far as syllable emphasis, not sure. I know it's emphasis on the second syllable. And so, since it's spelled with an I, I assume it's Danae Guerrera. And yes, that is what I was looking for. So, I don't know if you also happen to have notes on the actress who plays, oh Lord, on Fear. It's a Hispanic character, not Daniel's daughter who passed away, but the other one. I've completely lost. The one who stayed behind to make the gasoline recently. I'm sure you'll figure out to whom I'm referring in a minute. If you happen to have a second to look that up, that would be awesome. And then I can pronounce her name properly, too, and be respectful to everybody's unusual names. I try to do that when possible. Okay, tonight's episode was written by Nicole Mirante Matthews, M-I-R-A-N-T-E, Matthews. And it's hyphenated. Mirante was her maiden name. Matthews is her married name, and this is how she goes in IMDb. And it was directed by Greg Nicotero. Nicole Mirante Matthews was born in Seattle, Washington. She has been married to actor Jason, J-A-Y-S-O-N, Matthews, known for Surviving Disaster 2009, Lost Tapes 2008, and Mega Shark vs. Crocosaurus 2010, since 2011. Nicole has a BA in Broadcast Communication in 1992 from Edward R. Murrow College of Communication at Washington State University in Pullman, Washington. Nicole's writing routinely explores the issues of race, class, and gender, and how each plays a role in society. Her first screenplay, Finding Bobby, was a finalist for the AMPAS, A-M-P-A-S, Nicol Fellowship, Chesterfield Fellowship, and Fade-In Awards in 1998. In 2011, her NCIS episode, Freedom, became the most watched episode in series history at that time, garnering more than 23 million viewers, and I could not find a record that record has been beat since then in 8 years. If you find out otherwise, let me know. Nicole is involved in community work throughout the greater Los Angeles community, serving as volunteer and mentor at the Holly Grove Children's Home. She also serves as a mentor and tutor to young screenwriters, inspiring and educating them about how to find their own voices and what it takes to become successful in the industry. She is a member of Sierra Club and of Move On, one of the largest political action committees in the United States. Nicole is a strong supporter of WSU, her alma mater, and the Murrow College, specifically her alma mater, routinely engaging with students there. She began her career as a TV news reporter. Nicole has had a few miscellaneous crew credits dating back to 1995. She has 7 writer's credits other than The Walking Dead dating back to 2001, including episodes of Law & Order Criminal Intent, NCIS, and Luke Cage. She has 7 producer's credits back to 2006, including episodes of Huff, The Nine, Kane, C-A-N-E, Law & Order Criminal Intent, NCIS, and last week's episode of The Walking Dead, Lines We Cross, as a co-executive producer, which was her first work at all within The Walking Dead franchise. Tonight is her first writer's credit for this franchise. Greg Nicotero, I'm going to read an abbreviated from last week's version, but full bio for him. Greg has been involved with The Walking Dead universe since its inception. Nicotero is a Pittsburgh, PA native. He was briefly married in 1994 to first wife Julie Ray Engelsman, a costume designer from St. Louis who passed away in L.A. in 2016. Special credit to Joan for reminding me the other notes that I did not pick up last week. He married his second wife, director Sherry Nicotero, which I finally found the notes for in an obscure website. Married Sherry in 2000. They have a son and daughter together. He began his career in his hometown of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He is a renowned, gifted special effects and makeup wizard who learned his trade under the watchful eye of special effects splatter guru Tom Savini. While working on the 1985 Romero film Day of the Dead, he met Howard Berger, who would later become one of his partners at KNB EFX Group, a special effects studio which has gone on to work on over 400 film and television projects. Nicotero and buddies Howard Berger and Robert Kurtzman started KNB EFX Group in 1988, and the group has provided eye-popping and jaw-dropping special effects for major Hollywood releases, including The Green Mile, 99, Vanilla Sky, 2001, Sin City, 2005, and Romero's Land of the Dead, 2005. It has won numerous awards, including an Emmy in 2001 for the work on the Sci-Fi Channel miniseries of Dune. In 2006, they were given an Academy Award for achievement in makeup for the Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. He later worked as an FX artist on the 2010 film Predators, plural, and created a classic Predator figure for the film. Greg has been with The Walking Dead since 2010, doing special effects, directing, and producing the entire time. In addition to directing and special effects and producing, Nicotero has played at least 4 named walkers in seasons 1, 3, and 6 of The Walking Dead. And by the way, he was killed by the character Andrea, I believe 4 times, but it may not be those 4 walkers. So there may be other times that he's been a random walker and she killed him. As well as directing episodes of 3 Walking Dead webisodes, Torn Apart in 2011, Cold Storage in 2012, and The Oath in 2013. Nicotero has had several roles in the franchise. He has previously directed 28 episodes of The Walking Dead since 2012, including the Season 9 finale, The Storm, and last week's Season 10 opener. Tonight will be his 29th time directing an episode of The Walking Dead. So let's give them some applause and thanks for your work on the show, guys. Alrighty. Trivia about tonight's episode. Going to check the chat room real quick. Yes, the character who plays Luciana. Let's see. The delay was from fat fingering, not memory. Yes. The actress who plays Luciana has a similar name to Deny, and I want to make sure that I say it correctly and not the exact same way that I say Deny's name. I know it's said slightly differently. So if you manage to locate that and can share with the audience, I would appreciate it, and probably a few others of you who have not publicly admitted that you're stumbling over this the same way I am and would like to do better. Okay, back to notes. It's trivia time. It's 8:50. We got 10 minutes before we go live, so let's see what we can squeeze in here. Trivia about tonight's episode. It's the 133rd episode of The Walking Dead ever. Co-stars, Seth Dousman, D-O-U-S-M-A-N, plays a male whisperer, just a random named male whisperer, so he must do something significant in the plot tonight. Kristen Erickson plays Whisperer Woman. In Season 9, Episode 12, Guardians, this whisperer warns the camp that there are incoming, quote, guardians, referring to the walkers lured in by Connie and Daryl. At that time, she was billed as, quote, lookout whisperer and had lines, but it is the same character. Erica Freene, F-R-E-N-E, as Injured Woman. She is shown in previews sitting in the driver's seat of a car with a bloodied nose, and walkers or possibly whisperers are lurking nearby the car. There are no uncredited people that we know of yet. Typically, we don't know that about the upcoming episode tonight. People who get the press previews don't usually talk about that. Trivia for tonight's episode. This is the first appearance of the character Gamma. She is the third in command of the Whisperers and a loyal acolyte of Alpha, believing in her leadership and the group's animalistic way of life. Trivia. The term Gamma denotes the third most dominant role or position in a particular sphere or group. She is also pre-credited as a character and actress for episode 3, Ghosts, next week, and episode 5, What It Always Is, not in episode 4. Frances, who I'm about to discuss, is her sister in the show. She is played by actor Thora Birch. Slight spoiler, which I'll tell y'all later, she's going to be on the couch tonight on Talking Dead, the actress. First appearance of the character Frances, who is Gamma's sister. Tonight we will find out more about that relationship. I saw it on a site that had too much spoiler stuff, so I'm not reading that in advance. Nothing is known about Frances's life prior to or as the outbreak began, other than she has a sister, Gamma. She is played by actor Juliette Brett. Alrighty. Trivia for last episode. Going to check the chat room real quick. Joan is still looking for the pronunciation stuff I requested. So, trivia from last week's episode. Lines we cross. Last appearance of the character Enid in a flashback. The title of the episode, Lines We Cross, is a reference to the survivors crossing the border into the Whisperer's territory to put out the fire from the crashed satellite. Part of the credits now include Rick Grimes facing off against the herd on the bridge in what comes after, changing to the bridge on fire, with the ending featuring a herd moving towards the pikes, marking the Whisperer's territory, the heads of their victims still upon the pikes. This episode marks the return of Cindy, C-Y-N-D-I-E, who has been absent since the episode What Comes After, which is the one after Rick died. Rick Grimes' sacrifice is mentioned by multiple characters in this episode. In particular, Judith is shown telling the story to her brother, RJ, though she doesn't tell him it's about his father, and instead refers to him as, quote, the brave man. Lydia is revealed to be illiterate due to the lack of formal education among the Whisperers, and is shown learning how to read with Gracie and the other younger children. She is also shown wielding Henry's old staff, which she has attached a nunchuck to one end. I have a sneaking suspicion. I am not a martial artist or a weapons expert, but I am not sure if that is using that word correctly. But she has attached on one end a chain and what looks like one half of what you typically see when you say, I have nunchucks. Anyway, that is something that neither Henry nor Morgan ever did with the staff. Negan's prison sentence has been relaxed, and he is now allowed out to work under supervision. Sadiq is revealed to be suffering from PTSD as a result of witnessing the events of the calm before. You know, the old 8 or so people being murdered and put on pikes. Kelly appears to be losing her hearing. It may be the same condition Connie has, as neither are surprised by the development. It is revealed that there haven't been any letters from Maggie for a while, and Carol has been spending a great deal of time at sea. Daryl is shown to be learning sign language in order to better communicate with Connie. She comments that he's not bad at it and jokes that he signs with a southern accent. This is actually my comments here. Not entirely a joke. Sign language, just like spoken language that hearing people use, has slang and accent and idioms and reflects the area in which it's used. So that's cute and it's interesting. I just wanted people to understand that it's not entirely a joke. So that may be true. I didn't catch what he did with his signs as being particularly Southern, but I'm not a sign language expert either, so maybe she caught something that I didn't. I will be curious to hear from any of my hard of hearing friends who are familiar with the show. I know some of you do actually pay attention to it. So if you have any input on the sign language and the accent thereof, feel free to let me know, and we can share that with our listeners later. All right, I'm going to try to hurry up because we've got 4 minutes. The Whisperers and their herd have left the area at some point between the episode The Storm and this episode last week. The communities find signs that the Whisperers have returned. In the end, Alpha at least is shown to be back. The Whisperers are shown to have more borders than just the Pikes, and this may actually count as a goof. It is unclear how the communities know the other border lines, as Alpha has only told Daryl about the Pikes. So that will be interesting to figure out the continuity of this. This is the first season premiere where Rick Grimes does not appear, ever. This is also the first season premiere where Maggie Reed does not appear since the episode What Lies Ahead. Interestingly enough, the satellite that crashed is shown to be from the USSR. This episode confirms what happened to the Highwaymen after the events of the calm before, which is that they merged with the Coalition. This can be proven with the fact that several Highwaymen members, including Margo, are seen in and around Oceanside doing several tasks such as training and putting out the forest fire. A number of Oceanside extras for this episode are actually real-life firefighters who were hired specifically for this episode to help with the forest fire scene. There were no deaths listed, and there is a goof, aside from what I mentioned above. When Carol cuts a walker's throat to put out a fire with his blood, because they were out of water, the walker falls over dead despite its brain not being destroyed. So that was a stunt boo-boo somehow, or a acting boo-boo. I'm not sure who was responsible for not catching that, but somebody didn't. All right, 8:58, I can squeeze these in because they're short and sweet. Cast birthdays this week. Vincent Michael Martello, who played Patrick, one of the teens in the prison. His birthday is October 15th coming up, and he's from Rochester, New York. Daniel Kevin Fogler, who plays Luke in Magna's group. His birthday is October 20th, next Sunday. I'll give it to him again twice. Everybody's got Sunday birthdays, get 2 announcements. And he is from Brooklyn, New York, so let's give them some happy birthday applause. Yay! Okay, it's now 8:59, so I'm going to go ahead and go silent, and I will see you guys at the first commercial break. Okay, guys, it's 9:03, and we are at our first break already. So now we know who the lady was under the car. And Jonah said should have stayed in the car. Well, yes, except that in the accident where she probably got that bloody nose, it looks like the car windows were all broken, so there's going to be no point. Very short opening. I am going to give it a 5-2-5 only because it was very short, but it is not one of the weakest short openings that I have seen, so I'm going to let it have that. We were still puzzling over the half the part of the nunchucks on Lydia's current weapon. And I may actually poke some of my stunt friends and martial artist friends later for the grammar around nunchucks. So a lot of people say it, and I've been corrected, but I don't know if that was being pretentious. So I'm going to poke around. Some of my friends who are a bit more knowledgeable and see if they can help me out here. So sound like such a giant dork about it. Okay, let me look at my notes here real quick. We did birthdays. We do have a piece of featured music from last week, which is very atypical of Walking Dead Classic. That was usually a fear thing. But they mentioned that there's a song called I'm So Thankful by Eugene Blacknell and the New Breed. And that's a song playing when Rosita works out and Eugene is taking care of the baby. And I think at one point he turns it off and she turns it back on and they have a little turn it off, turn it on, turn it off, turn it on thing between them. So that is the song that's playing when they're doing that foolishness. Unaccounted for characters, reminder, Heath, Sherry, Rick and Ann / Jadis, Maggie, Herschel, Maggie with Herschel, little Herschel, and Georgie. And do we have time? We might have time. Talking Dead tonight for We Are the End of the World. Joining Chris Hardwick for Talking Dead will be Ryan Hurst, Thora Birch, and Yvette Nicole Brown. Hurst joined The Walking Dead in its ninth season, playing the role of Beta. He's otherwise known for roles in Sons of Anarchy and Remember the Titans. Birch makes her debut on The Walking Dead tonight, playing the character of Gamma, that we'll see later. Many fans will recognize her as an actress from her work in Hocus Pocus. Brown is labeled as a Walking Dead superfan by the Talking Dead social media accounts, but is also an actress in her own right, known for her work on the show Community. And we're back, so I'll see you guys at break number two. 9:15, and we are at brick number two, much longer. We did get a pronunciation for Danae Garcia, who's the character, the actress who plays the character Luciana, and Danae for Danae Gurira. So Luciana's actress is Danae, and Michonne's actress is Danae. Now I've got that straight. We are both on six. I am much happier with the progress in the plot since we last rated at the other break. So 9:16, let me see what I have in notes that I can share with you guys. I did get to read who was on Talking Dead, and it will be tonight, and I believe it will actually be live, so it should be right after. I have the front half of season 10, the rest of the half season, with all the rest of the writers and directors for you guys, and a couple corrections from last week. So, episode 134 ever, season 10, episode 3 is Ghosts. Writers Jim Barnes, directors David Boyd. That's October 20th, next weekend. Number 35, season 10, episode 4, Silence the Whisperers. Writer is Geraldine Inoue. Director is Michael Cudlitz. That's the 27th of October. 136, episode 5, What It Always Is. Writer is Eli Jorn, J-O-R-N-E. Director is Laura Belsey, B-E-L-S-E-Y. That's November 3rd. Number 137, episode 6 is Bonds. Writer is Kevin Diebolt, D-E-I-B-O-L-D-T. Director is Dan Liu, L-I-U, November 10th. Number 138, episode 7 is Open Your Eyes. Writer is Corey Reed. Director is Michael Cudlitz again, November 17th. And number 139, episode 8 is World Before. The writer is Julia Ruchman, R-U-C-H. It could be Ruchman, I don't know. R-U-C-H-M-E-N. And the director is John Dahl, D-A-H-L, and that is November 24th. And then the half-season break will happen, and we'll pick back up in February. We assume that for now that episodes 9 through 16 will start in February 2020. We'll keep you guys appraised. We also don't have a start date for Fear Season 6 yet, but we currently assume it's mid-April sometime, has been tradition in the past. Season 5 ran April to May and August through September last year. Best guess for now is April through May, then resume in August. There is a third new series, simply referred to as spinoff right now. We don't have a title. It's a secondary spinoff that's currently being filmed in Hopewell, right outside Richmond, Virginia, which is going to premiere in spring of 2020. I am assuming following season 6, episodes 1 through 8 of Fear. That is my guess. We are still at a commercial. So let me see what else I can squeeze in if the next part is not going back to the show. And it is not. So other upcoming shows on NDB Media Network include tomorrow, Monday the 14th, Monday Night in America, Year 12. Join Roger the Admiral Noriega as he brings you the latest happenings in the world. We'll discuss current events, politics, television, entertainment, and lots of other stuff. That will be at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Wednesday the 16th, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, the Rock and Roll Shrink Radio Show, rescheduled from a technical issue that we had 2 weeks ago. Episode 77, Behind the Wall of Sleep Deprivation, postponed from October 2nd, and that's at 11 p.m. And Thursday, October 17th at 8 p.m. EDT, Travel Itch Radio, Magical Mendocino, the coastal Northern California town that served as a stand-in for Crabapple Cove and Murder, She Wrote, the TV show, is home to quaint shops, bistros, and places to stay high above the Pacific waters. Hear all about the best of the inns Thursday, October 17th, 8 p.m. EDT, when Little River Inn owner, innkeeper Callie Dim, D-Y-M, visits Travel Itch Radio. And please rejoin us Sunday, October 20th, 8:30 p.m. for episode 3 of Walking Dead, Ghosts. We are back. I'll see you guys at break number 3. Okay, guys, it's 9:25, and we are at break number 3. Joan and I are both up to 6:25. Joan has said, she says, I'm starting to see how persuasive Alpha could be from early on, based on her first conversations with he who became Beta. We're having sound problems again. I'm not sure if it's you or me. Joan is saying, not saying I would follow her, but she was forming her philosophy long before she became the Alpha she is now. I'm going to extrapolate that she found desperate people and influenced them similar to Negan. Don't know why they continue to follow her, though. I don't either. Joan can now hear me. Yay. Good for that part. Pardon my hiccups. Okay, so let me look at my notes. Those are the rest of my notes and comments. So now we are down to discussion stuff. These are both things I have brought up before. One really is a missing persons comment. And they're both kind of missing persons comments, but not exactly. One is, where is Winnie, who is the little girl that ran away in the episode where Michonne was pregnant and all those little children were around? It's been months now, so she's just a wandering loose end. And then the other discussion, which I brought up previously and we sort of talked about, is, so we know Michonne is going to be written out at some point, and her character won't be dead, because I actually have heard some official spoilers lurking around that she may become tied to the movies. But that is very vague. It's convention talk and, you know, unverified, but not coming from a source where I shouldn't have that, basically. So when Michonne leaves and her character isn't dead, what happens to Judith and RJ? Because all the parents are gone now. So I'm not sure what we're doing here. Okay, so there are discussion links. I'm going to go ahead and pull the first one up. I don't know if we will have time to get to it between the breaks and stuff. I'm going to try to start reading it and see how far we can get into this. Hopefully we can get into it, a little meat and potatoes. This is from Forbes.com. It is related to a link I read you guys last week. It has the same title almost, but it's actually expounding on the topic. This is from Forbes. It was written by Paul Tassi, T-A-S-S-I. In their games section, and it was written September 26. I have seen episodes 1 through 3 of The Walking Dead season 10, and they're all good. So this is talking about the first 3 episodes and reviewing them. And we're actually, oh God, Terminator Dark Fate, almost here. Okay, sometime soon. That's the trailer for that. Oh, it's Michael Cutlets now talking, and they're having a little fun. I'm not sure what this commercial is, but we'll probably be back soon. It's him and Spaz. Oh, they're playing Walking Dead Our World. I play that game. And now we're back. So I'll see you guys at break number 4. Okay, guys, 9:40. I think we're at brick number 4. It might be 5, but I don't think so. Hopefully Joan can hear me. I'm going to double check in the chat room. And we're both at 6.5 in the ratings. She has commented, dissension in the ranks of the pack. Interesting, in this past segment. She's also said, Walker killing bonding time. Ain't that sweet? And I'm like, adore bubble. And she says, got to hand it to the creators for this series. They found the perfect way to meld Terror of the Dead with Terror of the Living Psychos. She says, usually my audio is delayed to her, so that's fine. All right, let me go back to the article that I had up to read you guys. So let me see how much of this I can get to you. So, again, this is written by Paul Tassi. And he says, quote, I was a little surprised to find not just the season premiere of season 10 of The Walking Dead in my screener inbox this week, but also episodes 2 and 3 as well, practically a month before they're actually going to air. And I can see that the embargo for all 3 lifted already, so I might as well share my thoughts on the next 2, as I've already written up the premiere a few days ago, and that was what I read you guys last week. I'm going to stay as spoiler-free as possible, avoiding events AMC doesn't want me to mention, but just trying to be cautious in general. So obviously, if you want to know literally nothing about what's coming, you should probably stay away from this post as a whole. Honestly, if you want to know literally nothing at all about what's coming, even things that AMC itself has leaked, you probably should avoid our show, because we do share those things so that our listeners can get the kinds of spoilers that AMC has allowed. Okay. Again, I already wrote about episode 1, which features another shorter time jump over a period of peacetime with the Whisperers, but by the end, conflict is starting to brew again. You can read all my thoughts on that here. There's a link if you want, as I'm not going to go over it again. I've already read this to you guys as well. Episode 2, We Are the End of the World. This is an entirely Whisper-centric episode that splits time between what Alpha is doing during peacetime away from the war with Rick's group, and a flashback of her and Lydia. A flashback tells the story of how Alpha met Beta for the first time and why they have something resembling a bond. This isn't a full Beta origin story, as we don't learn who he was before all this, though there are some hints, and he's still wearing a mask in the past, just on a skin mask. He's got kind of a hoodie thing on. The stuff between him and Alpha is really good and shows just how fearless and insane she really is. The modern-day storyline introduces Thora Birch's Gamma, a non-comic character. That's a spoiler I will allow. I won't really say anything about what she does, but there is some friction between her and Beta as Alpha takes a shine to her. We get a good look into the process of walker herding, as in how the group goes out and attracts new walkers to come back and join their horde. It's kind of neat. This episode really cemented to me what good villains Alpha and Beta are. I'm still somewhat on the fence, you guys, have to be honest. Not as much on the fence as I am about Fear, but I still kind of feel like there's something that we've just already done before and it needs a little something else. Episode 3, Ghosts. This will be a little, well, probably not too spoilery, because these are things that are allowed to be said. So if you want absolutely zero spoilers, even AMC allowed ones, go to the bathroom for 5 minutes. Come back. We're back with the main group and the main timeline for this episode. Alexandria is under siege by wave after wave of walkers, and the group has to fight without sleep to clear them all, despite their defenses. Really good opening sequence. In general, this is a pretty Carol-centric episode, as she deals with the loss of Henry, but also the other children that have been in her life. I won't get into how this plays out, but it's compelling and rather mind-bending in many instances. We are back. I'll see you guys at break number 5. Okay, it's 9:49, and we are either at break 5 or 6. I've really lost track, unless Joan feels like going through the score back and counting the votes. She is staying at 6:05. I'm going to 6:75, although I certainly don't think there's that much contention between how we're seeing the episode. She has commented regarding my last bit of comments. She's not at all on the fence about fear. She's definitely, pardon my hiccups again, on the opposite side of the fence of that show. It makes me sad because I am nostalgic for season 3, and I'm really not happy with the current showrunners, and I am well aware of the fact that I am absolutely not alone in that regard. I keep hoping they will get new ones before season 6 and maybe go somewhere else with this. So other comments, she's not even sure a new showrunner can save that one. You know, I have to beg to differ. I think that Walking Dead Classic had not as bad of a time, but it had some serious stumbling during seasons 6 and 7. And it has been said by many, many people that Angela Kang really rescued that show. And so I think a really good new showrunner might have a chance. So I'm not ready to completely give up, but I am very disgruntled. I have no gruntles right now with that show. But I'm going to show up and do it with you guys because I like consistency and I want to be here till the end. And it may just be 16 episodes of me fussing. You know, that may be it. So I understand if you guys don't really want to show up for that. You know, that's, you know, I get it. It's fine. Okay, so let me look at my notes. Let me see if there's anything. Oh, yeah, there is stuff left in the article. So let me read that to you. Continuing. I continue to be impressed with Aaron, who gets his badass hand mace this episode. I don't know if that's a comic reference. Don't bother telling me if it is. And has a great sub-storyline where he reluctantly agrees to let Negan come out with him and clear walkers. Without saying more about it, this is the highlight of this episode, and I am still really looking forward to both more Negan and Aaron stuff this season. Aaron feels like he's finally coming into his own as a character after all these years. There's a rather chilling sequence where the group's leaders meet up with Alpha to discuss recent incidents. It is a less than ideal outcome for all parties. We are clearly on the path back to war soon enough here. There are still no indications at this point how or when Michonne is leaving the show. And I have another article about that that I'm hoping they try to get to. Yeah, that's all I really want to say about these. They're all good episodes. That's the first three. And I think I liked each one more than the last, so we have something to look forward to next weekend. Still no all-time greats in here, but they're very solid and continue my confidence in the Angela Kang era of the show, showing that season 9 wasn't a fluke. The show is genuinely good now, and I can't wait to see what's next. So I may have to wait about 5 weeks to see another new episode now. I'll discuss more once the premiere actually airs. See you then. And that was last week. Okay. And Joan has a comment. We're a K Jewelers commercial. Oh, Mountain Dew, so I do have time. Joan says, I would likely give Fear a chance if new showrunners. But the difference between the original and Fear is I never completely gave up on the Walking Dead characters, only the plot lines. Well, I no longer care about any of the cast of Fear. I'm kind of getting there. Yeah, I'm not quite fully there, but I'm definitely dragging around in the dirt, not far behind you on that one. Okay, so let me see if I can pull up a... Okay, this one is the Michonne thing I was talking about, when Michonne is leaving. And I'm going to pull that up and see if I can get to it. We still have another commercial, and I need to come down. This is underneath one I read you earlier. The Walking Dead, when is Danai Gurira's last episode of Michonne, also by Sandy C. 4 days ago. Sandy, I don't know why your handle is Sandy Wright. You have a lot of typos, girl. And you are new to this mythos and writing for these guys. All right, we are back. And I'll come to Sandy's article at the next break. Okay, guys, it's 10:05. Joan and I are ending both on 7. I'm going to grab the last few comments for you guys. Jonas said, the current showrunners have so hobbled all of the characters on Fear that I'm just not sure how they would save them at this point. Anyway, enough about Fear. I'm back to The Walking Dead. And then she says, is Beta in the president actually wearing a shirt with a smiley face under his coat? Shirt in the picture from the past. And then she says, you know, about Alpha's tirade, not like me, and thank God for that. I had missed whose body was on the floor that he cut the face off of. Jonah said, I had asked who that was. Jonah said, somebody Beta of the past cared about, apparently. It was the walker in the closet that Lydia opened, but apparently was kept by Beta. I don't know, a brother or something, maybe. Or maybe he's gay and it was a lover. I really don't know. We're both ending on 7, and according to Chris on The Talking Dead, the body was Beta's best friend. Okay, that also makes perfect sense. I can totally see that, and I can see why he would hang on to that as his mask, assuming he did. I find it kind of mildly implausible in the kind of terrain that they're in that he would have been able to hang on to it that long, but it is kind of story-wise meaningful. All right, so we're ending on 7. I am going back to the article. No, I haven't read this to you guys yet. I haven't started on it, so I'm going to not start. And I will come to this next week, but it is about Wednesday Guerrera's last episode, as Michonne is supposed to be. They haven't announced an exact date, but it's just hints and at least some conversation about the things she needs to get done as a character before she goes. And there may be some chat about the movie thing. All right, so I'm going to let you guys go since The Talking Dead is actually on this week. And thank you for joining me, Joan, tonight, and anybody else who ends up joining later on. Always appreciate that. So I'm getting my ending comments together for you guys. So thank you not only to everyone joining us tonight, but those of you who may be listening later on via podcast, iTunes, or the Blog Talk Radio website. Special appreciation to our host, NDB Media. We hope that you will join us next weekend for another live watch party on the same network. Please watch our Facebook page for showtimes and episode links. See you guys next time, and good night.